Jesus Christ left no place for a future millennium. That is the message I have for you today, ladies and gentlemen. You know, countless millions of very sincere Christians, they've been taught they're going to be whisked away in a secret, invisible rapture. You've probably heard that teaching before. I've heard it tons of times, especially as a new Christian, ladies and gentlemen, and you start listening to the teachers on the radio, or you watch Christian television, if you want to call it that, and you hear all of these teachings. But unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, it is not going to be that way if you are believing that stuff. Listen to this, Matthew 24, verses 35 and 36, spoken by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords himself. His name is Jesus Christ. He said this, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Glory to God. He said this, Matthew 25 and 13, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." So that's some powerful scripture verses spoken by Jesus Christ himself. Keep in mind that he's the creator of all things, ladies and gentlemen. Look up the references, Genesis 1:1. It's the first verse in the Bible. God created everything. Isaiah 44 and 24. John 1 verses 1 to 3. So surely, the one who created all things, he knows what is going to happen. He knows the future, ladies and gentlemen. Trust in him. Trust in his word. So, you know, many people, they read their Scofield Bibles, and they read the notes, and that's what they believe. And they start to believe that this is the real deal, and this is what's going to happen. And 7 years, and we talk about the secret rapture that's going to take place right before the seven-year tribulation, and then the Lord comes back after 7 years, and then there's going to be a 1,000-year millennium on earth, and then at the end of that, there's going to be another judgment. So there's all sorts of judgments, judgment here, judgment there, everywhere a judgment. It's not biblical. So do you remember that false teacher, Harold Camping? He used to be on Family Radio. I mean, this guy was all over the place on the radio, and many people listened to him. You know, somebody gave me a book that was written by him called 1994, and he was talking about the return of the Lord then. Obviously, it didn't take place. It was a big, fat book called 1994. I remember seeing in all the Christian bookstores, they'd have the big display in the front. And then back in 2011, May 21st, I think it was, he also prophesied that the Lord was going to return. I believe it was at 6 o'clock at night. And it was all over the newspapers. You would see the banners on the buses. You'd see billboards all over the country, you know, regarding this coming, this rapture that's going to take place. It never happened. So you got to beware, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot out there. Especially in this time of dispensational teaching. It's all over the place. People believe it. And this is why I'm doing this message to you today. Keep in mind, if Jesus Christ were to return exactly 7 years after a secret, invisible rapture, then there would be billions of people throughout the world. They would know the day and the hour. But the Lord said, no man's going to know the day. Think about that. So you'd have people raptured out. And now they got like they'll say, yeah, I listened to this guy John Hagee. He said this was gonna happen. Let's get that video. Let's stick it. This is all made up stuff, folks. It's not gonna be that way. You remember the Left Behind series? I mean, this book sold. I think it was in the millions. I mean, and there was all sorts of movies. You know, I've seen them myself. The Left Behind series. You know, it's talking about the secret rapture and all that stuff, folks. But here's something you need to know. When the Lord returns, ladies and gentlemen, every eye is going to see him. Look at this, Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Even so, amen. So, folks, when the Lord comes back, keep in mind, it will be an event of events. Every eye is going to know It is happening all over the world. We know that sometimes it's daytime, as it is now, right now in the East Coast, in the USA, but in other parts of the world, it's nighttime. But when the Lord comes back, every eye is going to see him, no matter what time it is, folks. And trust me, it will be a day of reckoning, a day to remember. Look at this in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. The Lord speaks a parable. And I want you to pay close attention because he's talking about the end of the world. So listen carefully. Matthew 13, 24 to 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So the Lord is using here a parable, and he's given an illustration to describe his return. We're talking about the second coming. Now, C.I. Schofield, in his Schofield Bible, he makes a comment on this. He says, the gathering of the tares into bundles for burning does not imply immediate judgment. At the end of this age, verse 40, the tares are set apart for burning, but first the wheat is gathered into the barn. Okay, folks, first of all, that's a false teaching. That's adding to the word of God right then and there, and it's twisting the scriptures, okay, what the Lord is actually saying. So we're going to get down to the explanation. We'll get back to that verse that he's talking about. But I want you to see that the gathering of the tares into the bundles for burning does not imply immediate judgment. But I want to tell you that it does imply immediate judgment. When the Lord comes back judgment day, I want you to know that the judgment of the righteous and the wicked take place at the same time. You know, you've heard the teaching, the sheep and the goats, okay? It all happens on the same day. So what Mr. Schofield is doing and what he did, he's saying, the gathering of the tares into bundles, it doesn't mean they're going to be judged right away. That's false. He made that up, okay? So he did that because they believe that the judgment of the wicked is going to take place at the end of a 1,000-year millennium. So you've got to insert 1,000 years, ladies and gentlemen, in between the judgment of God's people and the judgment of the wicked, and they talk about another judgment of the nations. But I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that Judgment Day is a day of judgment for all people, that there is not a future millennium and then another judgment that takes place at the end. So many people follow C.I. Schofield. They have the Schofield Bible. They read those notes as if it's scripture. You know, they'll even quote those notes almost sometimes as if it is scripture. So what happens is, look at this, Luke 6:39, and he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? So what happens when you follow a false teacher? They fall into a ditch, you'll fall into the same ditch that they have led you to. So now let's get some light here as Jesus explains the parable of the tares to his followers, okay? So keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the end of the world, and this leaves no room for a future 1,000-year millennium on planet Earth. Matthew 13, verses 36 to 43, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into his house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world, in the end of this world, I should say. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offended them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Wow, what a powerful passage, what a powerful parable spoken by Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Glory to God. So let's take a look at this now. So the disciples, they wanted the Lord to explain the parable that he had just spoken to them. He says, they say, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he makes it clear that the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. Okay? That's Christ. That the field is the world. Okay? Not the church, even though the church is part of this world. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Okay? So, verse 39, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. Let me stop right there. Don't forget this, folks. When the Lord comes back, we're talking about the harvest. We're talking about all people. This is it. It's over. There's nothing to follow regarding this world before there's a new heavens and new earth. This is it. This is judgment day. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. So the Lord's going to send his angels, okay? Everyone's going to be gathered. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. Okay? Now that's the verse that Mr. Schofield, C.I. Schofield, in his Bible, he says, oh no, they're gathered in bundles, but they're not burned. In other words, they're reserved to be burned. You see what I'm talking about, folks? It's false teaching. So it says, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. This is when the tares, the wicked people, those who reject Jesus Christ, that's all who reject Jesus Christ, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is talking about hell. This is talking about everlasting punishment. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. So they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, them which do iniquity. Verse 42, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That is the lot for the unbeliever, whether you are Jewish or Gentile. If that day comes and you are not ready, you don't know the Lord, you've never been saved, you've never been born again of the Spirit, you've never been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, that is your lot for eternity. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So what does that mean? You know, when you hear the Lord talk that way, folks, what he's basically saying is, listen up. Listen up. If you got spiritual discernment here, he's saying, listen up. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So let me give you another confirmation from the Word of God, from that same chapter, Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 to 50. Again, this is Jesus talking. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. Once again, you see that? The end of the world, the angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. It's only two groups, folks. Two groups, the wicked and the just. You're either saved or you're lost. You either know Christ or you do not. It will be salvation or damnation. That's the reality of this whole gospel, folks. This is why we witness to people. This is why we preach to people, because of the seriousness of this whole gospel, ladies and gentlemen. You know, people die without Christ, they die in their sins. It's a simple thing. So it says, so shall it be at the end of the world, the angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Very serious message that we have here. So keep in mind, the Lord spoke these parables to his closest followers, talking about the end of the world. There is not a hint about a secret rapture or a great stealth evacuation, as some people would put it, that you're going to just disappear. I remember seeing those illustrations all over the place. You'd see them sometimes on big maybe billboards or something, you know, people being snatched away. You'll see people riding cars, and all of a sudden people are taken up, and there'll be airplanes, the jet pilot, if he's a Christian, the plane would just go down. I mean, it's absurd. It's absurdity, folks, and you know, I don't know what to say. And I've sat under that type of teaching to a degree. It's not going to happen that way, ladies and gentlemen. There's no two-stage or a two-phase, a second coming. When the Lord comes back, that is it. There's one second coming, folks. There's one judgment. There's not several judgments. There's not this, the judgment of this, and a judgment of that. One judgment, one second coming. And keep in mind that that is the last day. There's only one last day. John 6:40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Christ spoke that. Verse 44, chapter 6, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6:54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. While we're on that, folks, it doesn't mean eating the Roman Catholic host. It's talking about believing the Lord, living on the Word of God. Absolutely. That's what it's talking about, the Word of God. So there are two groups, ladies and gentlemen. There are the saved and the lost. So this is what you can expect when the Lord comes back. Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 to 15. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell, Hades, delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell, Hades, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Hallelujah! What a day that is going to be. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So this day, ladies and gentlemen, this is judgment day. This is not some thing that's going to take place at the end of a millennium. This is judgment day. And the dead, small and great, everybody's going to stand before God. And those whose name is not in the book of life, what does that mean? A person's name gets in the book of life one way, and it's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're born again of the Spirit, you pass from death unto life. Hallelujah. That's a spiritual resurrection that takes place. Ladies and gentlemen, we're seated in heavenly places with the Lord. And when it talks about being judged by works, ladies and gentlemen, hear me. I think it was Martin Luther that said, you know, the tree came before the apple and not the apple before the tree. So a Christian, you know, keep in mind that the Lord is the true vine. We can do nothing without him. So the fruit of the Holy Spirit, anything you do for the Lord, it comes out from, it's done in the Lord, okay? So that's talking about works, okay? Those are things that come, that happen. We bear fruit, the fruit of the Holy Ghost. That could include preaching the word of God, helping people, but you're doing it unto the Lord. The difference between us and the unsaved on this day, the unsaved, all their works are called dead works, okay? Because they have not the Spirit of Christ within them. Their name is not found in the book of life, you see? So, because you get these people say, oh no, we're not judged for our works, oh no. And you folks, I'm quoting the scriptures here. I'm quoting the word of God, ladies and gentlemen. Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. So, Judgment Day is a day of reckoning for all people. Everyone who's ever lived, they will be there on that day, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see what the Apostle Paul has to say about this. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Look at this. So we have God Almighty. This is talking about his second coming. He's going to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Okay? He's going to be revealed from heaven. Once again, it says with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. That's judgment, ladies and gentlemen. No secret rapture. And it happens at the same time when God is going to be coming to be glorified in his saints. That's the believers. One day, ladies and gentlemen. Not a secret rapture and then 7-year tribulation. That 7-year tribulation, by the way, they get that from Daniel's 70th week, which was already fulfilled, folks. Christ fulfilled that already. So it's not some future thing. It's not a future 7 weeks as is taught by these teachers. So keep that in mind. So I want you to see that vengeance takes place on the same day that Christ's people are glorified in his saints. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. If you've been born again of the Spirit, you're a saint, folks. You're a saint of God. You've been regenerated by the Holy Ghost. You are the apple of God's eye. I need to tell you that today, folks. If you are a believer, whether you're Jew or Gentile, you are the apple of God's eye. Boy, girl, man, woman, young, old, you've been born again of the Spirit. You are the apple of God's eye. You must be born again. And you see, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. So keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. So let's see what else we can find in the scriptures. Look what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. He said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, hallelujah, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Wow, Peter had a lot to say in that passage of scripture. So we know the day of the Lord. And you know, let me stop right there. The day of the Lord, then it talks about the day of God. That means the same thing, folks. You know, don't listen to those teachers. They'll say, oh no, the day of the Lord is this. Oh, the day of God is this. Or the day of Christ is this, folks. All speaking about the same thing. Hallelujah. So that's what you need to know. So we know that this day, when it comes, it's going to come as a thief in the night. Okay, so it's gonna be unexpected. Think about that. But for the children of God, for the children of light, we see the things that are happening around us. We know that things are changing. We know there's a good chance we could see the coming of the Lord. But then again, we might not. So we need to be prepared. So the day of the Lord, the day of God, the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. Look at that. Wow. But if you're a Christian, you don't have anything to worry about. It's going to be a time of great joy, because that's when we are going to be with the Lord forever. Look at this new heavens, a new earth, not a millennium, a new heavens and a new earth. So let's go see what Paul has to say about the gathering of the saints now. This is when we go to be with the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. So the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's when we're gathered. So let's look at another passage of scripture where the Lord spoke, Matthew 24, verses 29 to 31. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So, you know, what Jesus Christ is saying there, ladies and gentlemen, is exactly, basically the same thing that Paul said there, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. So this is talking about the coming of the Lord here in Matthew 24, 29 to 31. And keep in mind, it says immediately after the tribulation. No secret pre-trib rapture, folks, ladies and gentlemen. There will be tribulation, but not this seven-year tribulation that these dispensational type of teachers will try to tell you. So we see here, when the saints are gathered, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be quite a day, and it's going to be a very noisy day. He's coming with a great sound of a trumpet. Oh, yes. And that's when he's going to gather his people, the elect, the saints of God, those who believe in him, those who have been born again of the Spirit, those who have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's look at Mark, see what he has to say. Mark 13, verses 24 to 27. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. That's a day of great glory for the people of God. Going to gather them from all over the world, ladies and gentlemen, Jewish and Gentile believers. Okay? If you're not a believer, if you don't believe Jesus is the Messiah, oh no, you will not be on the right side on that day. You'll be on the wrong side. You'll be on the left side. Okay? The sheep and the goats. That's something you need to keep in mind. If you don't love the Lord, if you've never been saved, then don't put it off. You know, today is a day for you to get saved, folks. Every eye is going to see him, as I said, Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. So once again, what a day it is going to be. So if you look at Matthew 24:30, where the tribes, it says, that's the Greek word phule, P-H-U-L-E, they mourn, Greek word kopto, K-O-P-T-O. And then that's what happens when they see Jesus Christ coming. So in Revelation 1 and 7, it uses the word the kindreds of the earth, and it's the same Greek word, phule, P-H-U-L-E, and they wail. And it's the same Greek word, kopto, that was used for mourn in Matthew. So it's the same thing, folks. It's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's going to be, as I said, it's going to be quite a day. It's going to be a noisy day. Don't forget that. So look at this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, written by the Apostle Paul. Look what he says here. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. Glory to God is what I say to you today, folks. So that's the word for you today, ladies and gentlemen. And so if you don't know the Lord, you know, perhaps you tuned in just out of curiosity, and you're concerned about your soul. You don't know, you basically know that you don't know him. Well, the good news for you, ladies and gentlemen, is that Jesus Christ came into this world with one purpose in mind, and it was the love of God toward you. This is what you need to know. It was the love of God toward you. And the book of Romans, you find some scriptures there. It says, but God commended this love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So if you don't know the Lord, you know, you need to recognize you're a sinner. You cannot save yourself. The wages of sin is death. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is what keeps you out of heaven. It's the sin, folks, that needs to be dealt with. And that's why he died on the cross for you. So if you call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you call upon the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy upon my soul. Father, forgive me. I recognize I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to cleanse me with that precious blood that you shed for my soul. I don't want to go to hell. When I die, I don't want to go to hell. I want to be with you forever. I recognize I'm a wretch. I need salvation. I need salvation. Save my soul, Lord. And if you call upon the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, in that manner, in your own words. You know your heart. I don't know who you are, man, woman, young, old, but you know your heart. But I promise you this, if you call upon the Lord and truly want to be saved, he will save your soul. You will be born again of the Spirit. You will be sent the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is what we're talking about, folks. And that's my testimony. I was raised as a Roman Catholic. I was religious but lost, playing church, going through all of these things. I never heard the gospel. I wish somebody would have told me what I'm telling you right now, folks, as a young man. So I had all these man-made traditions, going to church, reciting my Apostles' Creed, receiving Holy Communion. I was as lost as could be. I was not born again. So I was regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit at the age of 36 years old. And folks, when the Holy Ghost comes, you are a different creature. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ. I never got preached a word before I was saved, folks. But when I was born again, when I was saved, when I was washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, I could not hold it in. And folks, it's the same today as it was back then. I mean, we're talking about 1989, folks. So I'm here to tell you, not only does the Lord save your soul, he's the keeper of your soul. So whoever you are, you know, I encourage you, if you're a believer, I remind you, you are the apple of God's eye as a believer, Jew or Gentile. There's only one now, folks, Jew and Gentile, one in Christ. Don't forget that. Be blessed.